I realize that it's going to be a bit of a challenge keeping you all awake because you've had a long day. I heard some didn't sleep last night. Now you've had a nice meal, loaded up on carbs, and now it's just like relax. So how are we going to keep you awake? Well, we need to find out what happens to Jonah, right? Like, we need to put Jonah to bed for good here. So we're going to go to Jonah chapter 4 and find out what happens to Jonah. And this time, it's Jonah trying to run God. So we'll find out what that means. Let's go to Jonah and read the 4th chapter. So we'll have read the whole book of Jonah together. So let's start with that. Jonah chapter 4. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant, and it made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? So there's Jonah in chapter 4 trying to run God. We'll explain what we mean by that. I heard of an app that you can get on your phone. I don't know if you can still get it. I haven't seen it, but I heard about it. It's called Pocket God, okay? And this mobile app game is where the player gets to act like a godlike figure controlling a small tribe on an island, okay? And in this app that's called Pocket God, the key features are this. You can control the environment. You can manipulate the weather and summon natural disasters. You can drag, flick, and toss islanders around. Powers include summoning lightning, creating earthquakes, altering gravity, that would be fun, and changing day to night and night to day. Actions include feeding islanders to sharks, dropping them into volcanoes, and bowling with boulders. Now, the reason why this relates to our character here, Jonah, is because God wasn't running his world the way he thought he should. He thought that God was running things the wrong way. And Jonah sits down and he looks at the city and he's disgusted. And we saw at the end of chapter 3 that Jonah had the most successful preaching campaign in all of history. The largest, the most successful, most amazing preaching campaign in all the world. And yet look what it says in, in chapter 4 and verse 1, it displeased Jonah. So he was miserable. He wasn't happy about it. And just in case we didn't get it, it says, and he became angry. So it's like, just in case we didn't get it, twice it says he's displeased and then he was angry about it. In fact, there's about three or four times that it mentions anger in this chapter. Jonah became an angry person and he was miserable, and I think he was depressed. Because, and he even is suicidal. He says, it's better for me to die than to live. And it's like, we can hardly believe this. I can hardly believe what's going on in Jonah's heart. He should be rejoicing that all these people were spared their destruction. But he's not. What's going on with Jonah? Why is he like this? He prayed to the Lord and he said, Lord, is this not what I said when I was still in my country? And he sits down on the bank of the river overlooking the city, and he folds his arms and he says, I knew you would do this, God. So Jonah knew God well enough to know that if he preached to these people and they turned from their wickedness, that God would forgive them. And so Jonah wished more that these people would perish than they would respond. It's really quite surprising. And as we mentioned, Jonah just doesn't get it. He does not get it. He has gone in obedience. He's gone to Nineveh. He's counted the cost. He's obeyed. But you know what? His heart's not in it. His heart's not right. So God has to deal with him. God has to deal with him. So we're going to look in Jonah trying to run God, the reason for Jonah's anger, the reason for Jonah. Why was he so upset? And then the reasoning of Jehovah. And God reasons with Jonah. He's patient with him. He tries to reason with him. And so this is what we're going to look at. Jonah was miserable. And he thought that God should be running the app differently. And I don't know about you, but I think sometimes people look at the world and they say, God, what are you doing? And they think maybe they could run the app better. I'm so glad that God is in control and I'm not. I don't know about you, but Jonah needed to learn this lesson, to let God be God and to trust that he knows what he's doing. So why was Jonah so angry? Well, the first thing, he was fearful for his reputation. And this is probably what was going on. Jonah walked through the city. You remember what his message was? 40 days, and this place is going to be turned upside down. God is going to overthrow this city. 40 days, and God is going to destroy this city. He didn't know how it was going to take place. Everybody knew about Sodom and Gomorrah, but God was going to destroy this place. So Jonah was a prophet, and he predicted. And you know what happened? It never came to pass. Jonah said 40 days, and this place is going to be overturned, and it never took place. Now, for a prophet to prophesy and for it not to take place, you know what was the result of such prophet? If you were to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says there, very strict rules, that if a prophet presumes to speak in the name of the Lord something and it doesn't come to pass, that prophet for telling lies was to be stoned. It was very, very, very serious. So God wanted to protect his prophets and he wanted to put everything on the line. And so the danger that Jonah was in was that he could be looked at as a false prophet. He said that this was going to happen and it never happened. So he was fearful of his reputation. Do you think that Jonah wanted to go back to the land of Israel? Can you imagine if he went back home and they found out that he was instrumental in sparing their enemies? He was a popular prophet before, but maybe not so much now. he was worried about his reputation. And he probably didn't want to ever go back home. He sat down and he said, it's better for me to die than to live. And so he was fearful of his reputation. What was he going to do now? He was fearful of his reputation. But not only that, he forgot his story. He forgot his story. And his story, remember, was chapter 2. He went to the bottom and God had mercy on him. He went to the bottom and there was no hope for him. He was basically as good as dead. And he cried out to God from the bottom, said, Lord, have mercy on me. And what did God do? God rescued him, brought him back up from the dead, as it were, and rescued him and saved him. And he looked at these people and he thought that he was better than them. So he forgot his story. And you know what? We can be in danger of forgetting our story. And we can lose the perspective of where we came from. I don't know what your story is. I shared a little bit of my story. And I know that I am just a sinner saved by grace. And if it wasn't for God's mercy, if it wasn't for God's grace in my life, I probably wouldn't be here right now. And I'm under no illusion of what I'm made of. I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm just saved by grace. So when I see people, I just see people that need God's grace the same as me. And Jonah forgot his story. He forgot where he came from, how God had mercy on him. You know, I heard a story about Harrison Ford, and any Star Wars fans here would know who he is. Okay, we got a couple here. So Harrison Ford, he didn't actually start out as an actor. He started out as a carpenter building sets for movies. And one day he's building a set for a movie, and some actor didn't show up, slept in or something, and they said, hey, come here, drop your hammer, and come over here and fill in for this guy that didn't show up. So Harrison Ford pretends to be an actor for a day. And they said, hey, you know, you're actually pretty good. Good looking too. And the rest is history. And now he's one of the most famous actors that there is. But you know what? He never forgot where he came from. And it is said that he used to carry around a great big spike in his pocket, a nail. And the reason he did that was to remind himself where he came from. To never get high and mighty, to never forget his story, that he started out as just a nobody, started out as a carpenter and as a nobody. So he put a nail in his pocket to remind himself of his story, to remind himself of where he came from. And Jonah, he didn't get the grace of God. He didn't have that perspective. And you know what? We're like that. We're very forgetful. And I think that that's one of the reasons why we break bread every Sunday, why we come and we have the bread and the wine, because we're forgetful. We forget where we came from. And so what is our story? If you're here and you're a Christian, do you know what your story is? The Bible says you were dead in trespasses and sins. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. It says you were dead, you were without hope, without God in the world, you were strangers from the covenants of promise, we had no claim on God, we were nothing. And that's our story. Jonah forgot his story. He was fearful of his reputation, but he also forgot his story. And we must never do that. And you know, if you're here, you're a sinner. And the only thing that you can claim is the grace of God. And whether we go out and commit some kind of sin or horrible lifestyle, it doesn't matter. We're all made out of the same stuff and we all need the grace of God. So Jonah looked at this city of these wicked sinners and he forgot his story. He forgot where he came from. God had mercy on his soul. And he was lost to God down at the bottom of the sea and had no hope. And God had mercy on him. So Jonah forgot his story, and he's miserable. he's miserable. And but God's going to work with him. God isn't finished with him, and he begins to reason with him. Here's another thing that he did is he focused on the wrong thing. Jonah, it's a very interesting story that Jonah's sitting there, and he's trying to get protection from the sun in the Far East there. It can get quite brutal, the heat and the wind and the sun, and he's got no protection. So what does God do? God provides this plant that comes up over him, and the castor oil plant, and it grows this funny gourd, and it's got big, broad leaves, and he's like, hey, this is great, and it grows very fast. And Jonah, he changes. He says that he was very grateful, verse 6. Now he's very grateful for the plant. It's just a plant. He doesn't care about a million souls, but he cares about this little plant. And so God is going to challenge his value system, his whole value system. And so he prepares this plant, and it grows up, and he's very happy for it. But then God prepares a worm. And isn't it interesting? You know, we usually think about Jonah as the story about the whale. God prepared a great fish, and it swallowed Jonah. God prepared, he sent a great big wind. But here it says that God prepared a little worm. Now that to me is amazing. That tells me that he is the God of the big things, but he's also the God of the little things. He's in control of his creation, from the huge storms and tsunamis and everything else, but also the little microscopic creatures. It's an amazing story, isn't it? And this little worm starts to eat the plant, and the plant withers up. He's like, oh, this is horrible. And the plant dies, and he's like, now he's miserable again. And so now God begins to reason with him. But he focused on the wrong thing. His value system was so messed up that he cared about this little plant more than a million souls. And God is going to challenge him. And I would submit to you that in this world, our value system can get so twisted and so wrong. Jonah cared about a plant. Here's another thing, and I don't want to be hard on people with their pets, okay? But we make a big deal about our pets, and we spend so much on them. And don't get me wrong, we had pets. We had a dog that we got in Guatemala, and she became so much part of our family that we brought her home to Canada, and we had to jump through 1,000 hoops to get her on the plane, and she had to be weighed, and she had to get her own passport. I mean, it was not a real passport, but it was might as well have been one. Had to go to the vet and get shots and this permit and another government doc. I spent 4 days running all over Guatemala City so that, and I mean, I would have left her there, but the kids are like, no, you can't leave the dog. So we had to bring the dog, and thankfully she didn't have to go into quarantine. But we brought the dog back to Canada, and she lived with us for about 13 years, and she was basically part of the family. So I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not being hard on your pet, but we get so caught up with pets, and you may have nice pets, you might have a horse or a sheep or a goldfish, I don't know, but we can get so caught up on them that we forget about our value system. And what I mean by this is, get this. We just celebrated Halloween, and I have some statistics here, okay? And it's from 2017. There are statistics that are more up to date, but this is for the United States for Halloween. How much money is spent on Halloween? $3.1 billion on costumes. B, with a B, billion. $2.3 billion on candy. $2.4 billion on decorations, $390 million on Halloween cards, $355 million on pet costumes. Okay? $355 million on pet costumes. And $330 million is spent each year on reaching the 2 billion people that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ yet. So what I'm saying is that each year in the United States, I don't know what it is in Canada, but more money is spent on pet costumes for Halloween than on reaching the lost with the gospel. That is focusing on the wrong thing, okay? And so God is challenging Jonah, and he's getting him to reflect on his value system. And he's saying, you're attached to that plant. It's a plant, Jonah. Quit talking to it. Quit making it like your little thing. It's a plant. And look at all of these people. They're perishing. They're going to hell. And you're worried about this. He focused on the wrong thing. So here we have the reasoning of Jehovah. And so as we mentioned, you know, really the book could have ended at the end of chapter 3. Because there was a great big revival. Jonah's the hero. He preached and everybody repented and everybody got saved. And you could have had the end of the story right there. But actually, no, it's not about Nineveh per se. It's about what God is, how he's speaking to Jonah, his servant. And so he's reasoning with him. He's working on him. He's trying to get him to see something. And we're going to get there, hopefully. He's reasoning with him. And he says to him, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? He starts challenging him. Jonah, think about what you're doing. Think about what you value. Think about your attitude. Is it right for you to be angry? Now, look at verse 9. God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And look at Jonah's response. And he said, it is right for me to be angry. Do you know what we're reading here? We're reading about somebody arguing with God. He's talking back to God. I mean, this is incredible. He is talking back to God. That's how bad Jonah is being. He has got a bad attitude. He's talking back to God. And so God says to him, Jonah, you got everything backwards. You got everything wrong. And you're worried about the wrong thing. And then God shares with Jonah his heart. And this is really what the book of Jonah is about. We have followed Jonah and through the story. And it begins with this prophet who is a wayward prophet and takes off and runs away from his job and gets swallowed by a whale. And it's about the whale. It's about Jonah. But when you come to the end of the book, you find out that the book of Jonah is about God. It's about the heart of God. And it's about how much God loves this world. And so this is what God wanted Jonah to get. He wanted him to understand his heart. So Jonah is sitting on the hillside and he's looking over the city and he's angry. Can you think of another one that was sitting on a hillside and looking over a city? His name was Jesus. It says in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that Jesus looked upon the city of Jerusalem and he wept. Why? Because he looked at a city of people who were perishing and who were lost. And he loved them so much that he wept. So what a contrast. And Jesus said this, a greater than Jonah is here. So at the end of the story here, we're being forced into a corner to one, make a decision about whether we're going to have our own agenda, our own attitudes, or whether we're going to recognize that God is in control and what kind of a God he is. So Jonah is an amazing story. And I've compared Jonah to another person, Jonah and Paul. We've compared Jonah to Jesus. We've compared Jonah to Nahum. But you know what? There's another person in the Bible that he is very similar to. The Apostle Paul was a missionary to the Gentiles, just like Jonah. And both sailed into a storm. This is in Acts chapter 27. Both were cast into the sea. The parallel is almost unbelievable. Both witnessed to the sailors who were fearful. And both were used to deliver sailors from death. So here's another way that you can look at Jonah. Jonah is a story of four missionary journeys. In chapter 1, you have the first missionary, Jonah, into the fish. And then in chapter 2, you have his missionary journey onto dry land. And in chapter 3, you have his missionary journey to and through Nineveh. But look what happens in chapter 4. You have his missionary journey to the heart of God. And that's what's happening in chapter 4. This is what Jonah is confronted with. How much God loves these people. Jonah had written them off. Jonah looked at them as not worthy. Jonah looked at them as not even worth the time of day. He was bigoted. He was narrow. He was calloused. He would rather just sleep or die, but not care about anybody else. And right now, half of this planet is perishing. Half of this planet is dying. Half of this planet needs the gospel. And God says, "Do you know my heart? Are you really in tune with my heart for this world right now?" This is the message of Jonah. It's into the heart of God. And Jonah, he's the only one to whom the Lord Jesus likens himself. As Jonah, so the Son of Man. And Jesus likens himself to Jonah in that he went into death and he came back out. Jesus went into death and he came back out from the tomb. And Jonah is a terrible example. And he didn't love these people, but the Lord Jesus, in total contrast, loves people. So it's really a journey into the very heart of God. Now, to end with, I want to point out a very interesting part of the book, and it's the very end. So you'll notice in verses 10 and 11, it's God's last word. God has the first word, and he has the last word. And all through the book, God is the one that is speaking and acting. If you look at it as a piece of literature, he's the protagonist. He's the main character. It's God saying this, God doing that. And Jonah is just caught up in the story. But look at the end. The Lord said, "You had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much cattle?" God even cares about the creatures. I guess he likes our pets. But look at the last, right at the very end of the word livestock. It's a question mark. It's very irregular. The book of Jonah ends with a question. You don't end books like that. It's very irregular. There's only one other book that ends with a question. You know which book it is? The book of Nahum. But it's very irregular. It's very, it's like, the book of Jonah ends with an unanswered question. And you say, this is so strange. Number one, I'd like to know what happened to Jonah, don't you? Because it doesn't say. Did he get right? I hope he did. I don't know, but I'm hoping. It would be so great if Jonah just said, "You know what, Lord, you're right. Never mind the plant. Let's go home and let's have a change of attitude." I don't know what happened to Jonah, but here's the thing. And this is what I hope that we can take away from this book. The book of Jonah ends with an unanswered question, because it's for you to answer. You see? The story ends without an ending because as you read it and come to the end, it's for you to answer. And so we're going to conclude our thoughts on Jonah like this. You're the prophet. You're the prophet. That question mark is for you. What are you going to do with God's call on your life? How are you going to respond to the heart of God? I have struggled to try and communicate how great God is and how wonderful his mercy and his grace is. But the question mark is for you, because you're the prophet. The unanswered question needs to be answered by you. Okay, so that's a few thoughts for you on the prodigal prophet, Jonah, who tried to run from God. He ran into God. He ran with God. And then he tried to run God. He thought he knew better than God. But the story of Jonah really ends with a question. How are you going to respond? How am I going to respond? And that's what I leave you with this weekend. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for your word. And we have tried, Lord, to communicate just how amazing you are, that you are the God who commands the wind and the waves, but even the tiny little creatures like the worms. We marvel, Lord, at your power and your might, but we also marvel, Lord, that you would have mercy on us sinners. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see from your word, your heart, how much you love us, how much you love this world. And help us, Lord, to understand that we're just sinners saved by grace, and that you want to use us. You want us to go into places that are difficult, places that may be dangerous, with people that we may disagree with or not understand, or even maybe don't want to associate with. Lord, whatever it might be, I pray, Lord, that this account of your servant Jonah, as we are left with this question, this big question mark for us to answer, Lord, I pray that you would help us to come to grips with the answer to that question. For we ask it and pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.